Isn't that amazing to think about? That the God who created this universe is still here today. Not affected by age like a lot of us. Still just as healthy as he was. Still just as powerful, as loving, as merciful, as forgiving. So full of grace. And you are a God that is there to watch us as your children walk through all different stages of life. Father, we pray for Bill DeHaven's mother, even right now, as she stands on the doorstep of leaving this earth and being with you. We pray for your grace and your mercy and your spirit of comfort to be upon Bill and Diana and the other members of the DeHaven family. You are a God who meets all of our needs. We worship you, Father. The God who was, who is, and who is to come. You have not changed throughout all of it. What a loving, powerful God we serve. And everybody said, you know, you're created for more. If not, you've been missing out on a few sermons because that's all I've been talking about for a couple of months now, is that you are created for more. Created for more relevance in God's kingdom. You are created for more of what God wants to give to you. Now, I know that man wants to give to us. Amen? And some of the things that man wants to give to me, I don't want. But the things that God wants to give to us, it's good. It's good. And it's powerful. It's amazing. Do you know that you are deeply loved? That you are highly favored? That you are wonderfully blessed? And this all comes from the God who created you. So to ignore him, to act like he's not around, or to even somehow live your life like, well, yeah, I'm not quite sure there's a God out there. Well, like Corey said, you could look out at that rain yesterday and see that beautiful rainbow. And then I saw the double rainbow. Yes. And then I asked God this strange question. How come there aren't triple rainbows? You know, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, it makes sense to me. God never did create that third rainbow for me, though. I stood out there getting wet going, come on. I want to see the third rainbow. Not going to happen. But the colors were so vibrant. And to think back and know that's the promise that God gave. And he says, whenever it rains, I'll set my bow in the sky. And there, you'll remember and I will remember the covenant that I made with Noah, that I will never again flood the entire earth. Oh, we've seen some flooding in parts of the earth. In fact, down south right now, in the Carolinas, Georgia, all that east side man, they've gotten smashed with water. In fact, Lord God, as we sit in the comfort of this building to worship you, people are returning to their homes and there's nothing there. They may be returning to their neighborhood where their church once stood and the church is gone. Lord, give them hope this morning. Minister to their needs, we pray. And thank you for your grace that you will give unto them in Jesus' name. You're created for more. But more of what? Well, we've got to be careful about what it is that we are created for. We got to be very guarded because this world will try to yoke us together. And yoking us together means you'll be locked into relationships and different things that will try to get you away from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm deviating away from the 2 Peter this week. Because in this world right now, we really need to know what it is that we believe in and what we stand for. Because, folks, it's coming down. It's coming down and it's coming fast. When people will no longer stand for truth, they'll buy into the lies of religions. And they won't stand for the truth of God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Christianity who would give his only begotten son that we would not have to see death. We see an extinction of this life here on this world. But there's life after. And that's all because of God. And will our life after, will it be with God? Well, it depends upon if that's what we practice now. If we don't practice being with God now, what makes you think that all of a sudden we're going to get a free pass? And God's going to go, oh, well, you ignored me all of your life, but now you want the benefits of my kingdom? Are you kidding me? Wake up, child. If you want to be in my kingdom forever, and forever, by the way, is a really, 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 really long time. If you want to be in my kingdom forever, then you got to do one thing.
Yeah, it reminded of Curly Joe right there. Curly. One thing, pilgrim.
What's that? Know your purpose. Your purpose, you were made, you were created for one thing, to serve God. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to chapter 7, verse 1. Read this with me if you will. It's inside your bulletin. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Drop the mic. We're done. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to associate with the world, because that would be sheer tomfoolery to think that we could not be around unbelievers. That would mean that God would just have to take us out of this world, right? Because this world is full of unbelievers. In fact, they're even in our church. What? Yeah. There are some unbelievers even attending Mountain Valley. We love them. We don't judge them. And as they continue to experience the love of God, they are going to be won over. But if they see condemnation, they're going to be shunned and they're going to run away. Amen? But they need to continue to see the love of God given to them. But to not be yoked together with them means I am not going to be harnessed together in a relationship. Now, this has a lot of problems in personal relationships. Because some people say, well, I'm married and I'm a believer, but my husband or my wife is not necessarily a believer. They're not someone who's following after the Lord. What do I do with that? Here's what you do with it, according to Paul. You stay with them and you be an example. You be the example of Christ to them. And through your example, you will win them to belief in Jesus Christ. But if you are always critical of them, if you are always condemning them, if you're always letting them know, you know what, you're just not shaping up, what do you think the reaction's going to be? How many of you like being told that you're wrong? Yeah, I don't think so, Joe. None of us like being told that we're wrong in our thinking. I mean, it's great that we sometimes get challenged with it, and that challenge sometimes gets us to change our mind then. Amen? But it's when we're brought together with sound judgments and arguments, not judgments, but just arguments. When we sit down and we truly reason with each other about what it is that we believe in. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? You know, Paul just goes on a travel here, on a journey. Fellowship can light have with darkness? Harmony is there between Christ and Belial, which is just another name for Satan. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And then he comes right back, and he says one of the most powerful messages that you could pick up this morning. For we are the temple of the living God. And God said he'll do what? I'll live with them. I'll walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, which always means if you have these promises, this is what you must do. This is the obedience thing that God desires out of each and every one of us that would like to follow after him. And the obedience is what? Come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing. I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Wow, what promises, huh? What promises? Are those promises that you just love to hear?
Testing, testing.
Thank you. There's somebody alive. Thank you, Marilyn. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You see, God provides the holiness, but we are to perfect it in and of ourselves. There are things in our lives that God wants us to get rid of. There are certain habits, there's mindsets, there are activities that we're involved in that God wants us to get rid of because they contaminate our body and our spirit. It's not that those things are altogether evil. Some are, if you are sitting around with a bunch of people worshiping Satan, that is definitely evil. Okay? But there are other things that we might do, that we might be participating in, that might contaminate our body and our spirit. The Lord says, get rid of it. Perfect your holiness out of reverence for God. In other words, don't make Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you a shameful thing. If you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, that's what Christian stands for. If you call yourself a Christian, then let the world see it. And don't offer a compromising example of it. Because if you bring a compromising example of Christianity, well, then the world will just go, wow. What's different from you and the rest of the world? Oh, you can participate and do that and stuff, and you know, don't pop up and say, oh, yeah, but I'm forgiven. See, that's making light of what Christ went through to make us holy. You see, he wants us to be holy as he is holy. And he provides that holiness for us. By the blood of Jesus Christ. It washes away every sin, everything that would possibly be wrong with us in God's eyes. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything. However, there are things that we also need to take care of in our life. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, you will have empowerment to say no to the things of this world and more yes to the things of God. That's what you're created for more. You're created for more of God's reverence, more of God's holiness, more of God's power living in and through you. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17, And please understand, this is Jesus himself. 2,000 years ago, existed, but today, speaking to us now. And what would Jesus say to each and every one of us? If you love me, woo. What's that first word? If. Yeah. If you love me, you'll do what? You will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, how long? Forever, the Spirit of Truth. You see, the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. Jesus. If you love me, you'll obey me. You'll obey what I command. And what is the commands of Christ? To love God with everything that you are. Don't give him leftovers. Love him with everything that you are. Don't hold back. Why? God didn't hold back. God is just monstrously in love with you. I mean, full tilt boogie. God loves you. He loves you. Just the way you are. He loves you. See, so many people think, well, I've got to clean up this and I've got to clean up that in my life before I can really come to God. No, no, that's not the way God works. God wants you now. He'll clean you up as the Holy Spirit gives you information about, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Maybe you've given yourself license to do this in your life, but honestly, it's really not bringing glory to the Father. So, if in all things you are loving God with everything that you are, then can we reason together? Can you lay that down? Because if it's causing you to follow anything but God, if it keeps you away from loving him with everything that you are, then it's time you lay it down. Because I'll tell you what, this has been my experience, and I'm sure I can get a whole lot of hallelujahs and amens out of this crowd, because I used to love some of the things of this world. And as I gave myself over to loving the things of this world, what happened? Did my life soar? Was it awesome? Was it great? No. No. My life went to the dogs. Because the things of this world, they have strong pulls on us. They have strong attraction for us. So I cannot love the things of this world and also love God with all my heart. So as I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then the things of this world will no longer keep captivating me. And I will be able, through the power of God's Spirit living in me, to say, you know what? Yeah, I used to really enjoy that. But no mas. No more. No more. Though it may not have been a terribly awful thing, it's keeping me from totally loving God with everything that I am. What's that thing in your life that you won't surrender? What's that thing of your life in this world that just is so near and dear to you that you will even compromise going into heaven because you love this more than you love God? What is it? Let go of it. It's not easy. There are some things that just really take root into us. In fact, we might even have to have intercession prayer to get out of the things that have gotten into us, that keep us from loving God with everything that we are. But honestly, people, think about it. I'm not asking you to be God, but I'm asking you to think about things through God's perspective. Okay? I have a kingdom. And it is full of all good things that will sustain you for eternity. Do you think that I want even a little glitch of sin to try to enter into that kingdom? Anything of the world? Think about it. God would say, no. No, sin can't enter into my kingdom. Why? Because he's holy. He's pure. See, yes, he is a God of love. I get that. He is a God of love. But he also wants us to be people of love. People that love him more than the things of this world. I hope this all brings you to these five I am declarations. You know, we use I am as often the name of God. Moses was at the burning bush, and God had called him over, and Moses came wandering over, and God said, "Hey, Moses, take off those sandals because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground."
Oh,
yeah. Okay. God, what do you want? Moses, I've chosen you as to be my servant, the one who will go and redeem my people out of Egypt, which meant bondage, which meant sin. My people have been there for 400 years, and they've grown very accustomed to the ways of this world. And it's held them back from truly loving and worshiping me, the only true God, the God of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to release them. You're going to be my messenger. Well, I have a little speech problem. Yeah, well, don't worry about that. But who should I say sent me? Oh, tell them I am sent you. How many of us declare things over ourselves in the heat of a moment or in exasperation? I am an idiot. I am a moron. I am, you fill in the blank. Do you understand what you're calling out on God? Because you are the creation of God Almighty. You are his workmanship. You are made in his very image. And for you to declare over yourself that you are anything other than holy, dearly loved, highly favored, wonderfully blessed, is to declare yourself anything less than what God Almighty would call you. And we've gotten this picture, we've gotten into this habit of calling ourselves this. That's why, though I appreciate the 12-step program, I do not appreciate that proclamation of damnation over yourself. Because what they declare every meeting, and those of you who have been in those meetings, either through drug addiction or alcoholism, what do you say? Hi, my name is Don, and I am what? No, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I am no longer a drunk. I am no longer a drug addict. I am a child of God. Man, would we throw the tables of NA or AA over if we walked in and instead of proclaiming, hi, I'm Don, and I am a child of God. That's what I am.
Well, what God are you serving?
There is only one God. And that's the God that I serve. He is the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the one true God who has chosen me, who has created me, who has anointed me with the power of his Holy Spirit to say no to the things of this world and to say yes to God. 5 I am declarations that I am sure if you will call these out on yourself, put them up on your mirror as you get ready for your day, put them someplace, put them in your Bible, just but say these 5 I am declarations until you get them down and you start believing them. 1 I am a believer in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am a present day temple of the living, holy God. I am that temple. It's no longer a building. I am the temple of the living, holy God. I am received and celebrated as a child of God. I am filled with the Spirit of truth forever. I am known as a lover of God. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You see, if you make these statements and they become a part of who you are and your makeup, you start understanding what it is that you are proclaiming over yourself, then not even the gates of hell will stand against you. These proclamations have power, but it's what you declare over yourself that matters, folks. It's what you declare over yourselves that is either going to help you or it's going to harm you. Understand? I am a moron. No. I have been given all understanding by the Spirit of God that lives in me. I'm no longer dependent upon just my own wisdom and my own ways. I mean, I got to be honest with you, folks. I don't always understand what I'm going to come up with here in this pulpit. But I know that God, he doesn't want to have a joke made of his name. But I've got to make sure that I'm right. And that the words that proceed from my mouth are his words. Can you make these 5 declarations? Is there any glitch in that you're struggling with today? I'm received and celebrated as a child of God. Well, no, I've got to work into that. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been made into a child of God. By belief that he washes over all your sins. It's a done deal, folks. In God's eyes, that transaction has already happened. It happened on a cross 2,000 plus years ago. You got to declare who you are. I'm filled with the Spirit of truth. No longer will the lies of this world have their ways with me. I am going to be filled with the Spirit of truth every day. The moment I accept and declare Jesus Christ is my Lord, he died on the cross for my sins, I am filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. His Spirit comes to... Why? Because it's the Spirit of Christ in me. It's the Spirit of... I have proclaimed Jesus Christ to be my Lord, my Savior. And when I proclaim that, then I have the presence of Christ in me. For who can say Jesus is Lord except him who has the Spirit of the Lord in him? Right? I'm filled. I am filled with the Spirit of truth. So that's those declarations with, well, I'm not quite sure I can do that. Those go to the wayside. Because what's that scripture passage? Come on, somebody help me here. I can, what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah! I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes. You see, that's the kind of stuff that when you get stuck in life, you got to just come out with. Wait a minute. No. Life just ain't treating me right now. Well, but I can do all things. I can do. You got to get a little stink face on too. You know, get a little attitude, you know, on it, you know, because then it makes it real. You know? I am filled with the Spirit of truth forever. I am known as a lover of God. Whew. Man, if there's anything holding you back from being able to make these declarations, give it up this morning. Give it up. Because you are deeply loved. God has deeply loved you from the beginning. Yeah, he saw the mess that you were. He saw the mess that I was. But you're deeply loved. Oh, you're highly favored. If God is for me, who can be against me? Right? I'm wonderfully blessed. I may not be blessed with great riches of this world, but I got God. That's all I need. Those poor people down in Florida and in parts of Georgia, and man, they're going back to nothing. But if they got the Lord, they got everything. Amen. You're created for more, not less. More of God, but less of this world.